To Proverbs chapter 3. Aren't you glad the anchor holds? Amen. Doesn't mean you don't get blown around a little bit. Sails are torn, the bow's been beaten a little bit, but the anchor holds. By the way, when we get to heaven, we get a new boat, so it's all right. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13. I think this is the last of the happiness messages I was going to bring, but not that we can't be happy after that. Anyway, I'm going to speak on this one more time this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13. Appreciate if Israel's being here. If you don't have a place that you normally call home, I hope you come back and see us again. Really do. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 13. We'll go back and touch a couple of those things later. But reading verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Let me say that again. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." That makes it sound like if you don't find wisdom, there's a good chance you won't be happy. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." She, wisdom. Wisdom, by the way, is that Greek word Sophia. Okay, as you speak about a she. "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." Wisdom. "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her." And here's the bookend. "And happy is every one that retaineth her." Let's pray this morning. We're going to talk about, are you wise enough to be happy? Are you wise enough to be happy? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank these dear folks. They came out to hear your word this morning. I certainly don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to be in between them and you. But Lord, if you let me be used as a tool for you this morning, I'd really appreciate it. My flesh is not quite up to par this morning, but Lord, your spirit is always more than enough to make up for it. So Lord, I need you. Pray that you speak to hearts. There's a lot of things in the hearts all the way across the building here this morning. And I know that there's going to always be problems. Those who live godly shall suffer persecution, and I know the afflictions of the righteous are many, and I understand that. And yet, Lord, all things considered, we can lead a happy life when we do it your way, with your wisdom and your understanding. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to give that to them, help them to see truth, help them realize it's not out of reach no matter how far they've gone. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This might sound kind of mean, but I think there are some people who are not wise enough to be happy. I know this sounds kind of strange. They're going to live their lives falling into mischief. We've talked about that verse. In fact, the Bible says, "Happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall falleth into mischief." Bad things are going to continue to happen to them. They will run the treadmill of life, waste away, burn out, and still have never made progress in life. They will be followed by unnecessary adversity, unnecessary stress, unnecessary affliction, calamity, sorrow, misery. And the saddest part of all of it is that they didn't have to. A large portion of our unhappiness in lives can most often be avoided. I understand that all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And I understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the verse goes on, "But God delivereth them out of them all." God does not throw his promises around haphazardly, just letting them just wait to see whoever his promises happen to fall on. God makes promises to all of us, and we need to be wise enough to take him on his promises. In order to take God on up on his promises, we need to do it his way. Let me remind you of a couple principles here the last few weeks. Happiness. Our verse a few weeks ago was, happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now, happy is different than joy. Joy is that deep down thing. No matter what happens, we ought to have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. But joy of the Lord knows that no matter what happens, God's still in control. He's going to bring me out the other side one way or the other. The worst thing that can happen to me is I die and go to heaven. When you know Christ is your Savior, you've admitted yourself a sinner, admitted the fact that Jesus was God, died and paid for all your sin, you trust that, and that alone, you have eternal life. So the worst thing that can happen is I die and go to heaven. But the road to heaven, while I'm going, I would like to enjoy it a little bit. And in fact, if I do it the way he wants me to do it, I'm going to enjoy it more than if I try to do it on my own in my own ways. Oh, I might, listen, I may enjoy sin. Listen, there's a certain joy for sin for a time, for a season. But oh my, the mess that it brings later, you know. So happiness, really, that word happiness means going forward, going straight, prospering, running on the level, making progress, not going downhill, not falling downhill, but moving on, making progress. Things are good. I'm in a happy place in life. But it says, those who harden their heart shall fall, shall not make progress. They'll get off the path. They'll fall down, and it says they'll fall into mischief, bad things, worthless things, not making progress, adversity, stress, affliction, calamity, misery, sorrow. Listen, there's so much people say, well, I'm just so stressed out. I wonder how much that stress we could have avoided if we had just done it God's way in the first place. I can't tell you how many folks, you know, over the years, I mean, I've been here 12 years, and I was down in another church for 20 years. How many folks have come in and out of my office over the years, and they're all stressed out? And it's usually because they made a decision real early in life that they shouldn't have made, and now it's stressing them. Happiness really is our current existence. And of course, that means it can change. We can enjoy the trip. In some ways, happiness is a choice. I can choose whether to fear God, happy is a man that feareth always, or I can choose to harden my neck and do it my way, for what is a man? You know, listen, that's the way the world is. I'm going to do it my way. And usually, we're saying that trying to justify the mess that we've made. Well, I did it my way. Well, yeah, I guess so. I can see that. Now, if we harden our heart against the Lord, we're going to find ourselves in the midst of mischief. Now, the way back to happiness is still possible. Because the verse right before that verse, Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. We go back to where we started from, and God will give us mercy. You will be surprised what God can do. The last thing I taught you last week was this. You do not pursue happiness by pursuing happiness. We want good circumstances, and so then we try to connive and scheme and get ourselves into good circumstances. In other words, we're saying, I want to make my life here on earth. I'm looking on this realm. I want to make my life here on earth nice. That's not the way it works. You pursue happiness by pursuing Him. The fear of the Lord. Happy is the man that feareth Him alway, all along the way. Remember those little lapses of fear sometimes get ourselves in trouble. Well, I've been really good, so I'm going to go out and cut myself some slack, and we're going to go out and celebrate. It's amazing how many times we celebrate by going against what we've been trying not to do all along. But he says, we're going to pursue happiness by pursuing the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What do you trust Him? Now, this morning, When I speak of being wise enough to be happy, I'm not saying that some people are not wise enough to want to be happy. I'm saying they are not wise enough to seek happiness God's way. I think most people would say they want to be happy. They want happiness for their kids. I also think that many people do not seek happiness from the proper source. I've seen way too many families who had nothing, and then they have something, and they dump it all on their kids because they want their kids to be happy. And it turns out to spoil them. Amen. The prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. Amen. And foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. So kids are born fools. Now either we get that out of us, or we train it out of them, or it stays there. And I've seen way too many people who think, well, now that I've got all these things, now I'm going to be happy. $1.3 billion. Point, no, 1.5. That's what it was for the lottery. And it says there's three or four different groups. I hate to say it, most of those families are going to go down in smoke. Because the fact is, bit mad at me. People who think they're going to get rich quick are not very wise. And then those who do get rich quick who aren't very wise, the prosperity of the fool destroys them. You go back and do a little study, you'll find a lot of the ones that hit it big are now in debt up to their ears. I mean, because they just went out and spent and spent and spent and spent. Their families have split up. There's been all kinds of greed that's gone on. It's brought out the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. It's not the root. You can have money and use it if you're wise with it. But if that's your source, that's what you're looking for in life, is going to give you a hard time. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying that's not going to make you happy. It really isn't. Let me give you number one. Happy is the man who's wise enough to put his hope in the Lord. Happy is the man who's wise enough to put his hope in the Lord. You got your Bibles, and we're going to read several verses. Go back to Psalm 146, would you please? Psalm 146. You're in Proverbs. It's the book right to the left. Psalm 146, almost just the end of that book there. There's only 50 chapters in there. Psalm 146, look at verse 1. Now we're going to read some scripture because I want you to see this. This is not just me. I can sit here and try to convince you, but I want you to see the Word of God here. Psalm 146, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my any being. Put not your trust in princes." Now this guy is praising the Lord. What he's saying, I'm having a good time. Happy's my life. Now he's going to tell you how. Verse 3. "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." You know, whoever goes into the office of president next year, this year, is not our Savior. It may make life better or worse, I don't know some things, but the fact is, God transcends all that. Verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Let's find out who he is, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever. He never lies. He's always truthful. Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. That's who the Lord is. He's in control of all of it. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. his aid, the one who's around, whose expectation, whose hope is in the Lord his God. No one else has his qualifications. No one else has God's qualifications. Proverbs 16:20 says, "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Now you go back and you read that in Proverbs 16:20. What he's saying is, if you trust in the Lord, you're going to be happy because you've handled the matter wisely, because you went back to him. Number one, happy is the man who's wise enough to put his hope in the Lord. Number two, happy is the man who's wise enough to know he's not wise enough. Happy is the man who's wise enough to know that he's not wise enough. Let's go back to our passage in Proverbs 3. You were there just a minute ago. Look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, now watch this. You don't hand your son a rattlesnake. You don't hand your son a knife blade first. You don't give your kids a pair of scissors and tell them to go run up and down the steps. My point is this. He said, my son, somebody I love, somebody that I care for, I'm going to give you some wisdom here, and I want you to listen to me. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, son. Though some of this may sound a little strange, some of this may sound a little difficult, but son, my son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He says, I want you to determine to live by God's law. Remember, we're aiming for happiness. We're going to get there. Verse 2. If we do that, why? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know what that sounds like? A happy life. Huh? Length of days, long life, and peace. Sounds like a happy life. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's what we're supposed to do. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That sounds like a happy life. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Check in with headquarters. And he shall direct thy paths. In other words, we need to be wise enough to allow God to direct our paths. And if God is directing our path, we will stay out of the briars and the misery and the sorrow and the affliction and the adversity. If there's any way possible to stay out, that's how we're going to do it. Now, there may be some things he's going to bring into our life to chasten us, maybe some things to kind of warn us, maybe some things that he's going to teach us. But the fact is, we can stay out of a lot of the briars if we would just do what he told us to do. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be wise enough to know you're not wise enough. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. That sounds like a happy life. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Sounds like happiness to me. My son, he says again, now hang on, son. Gets a little tougher here, son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. In other words, there's smoother sailing for the man that discovers how to do things God's way. Not man's way, not the world's way, not my flesh's way, not the devil's way, not my best friend's way, but the Lord's way. Verse 14, for the merchandise of this wisdom, the profit, if you will, the better deal. The merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. In other words, the income produced. What you're going to get out of this deal, when you do it God's way, is a whole lot. It's worth a whole lot more than silver and gold. Why is there so many celebrities who take their lives? You say, well, they're rich. They have everything. People almost bow down to them. They walk down the road and everybody goes, oohs and ahs. And then they're not happy. They're depressed. They have no hope. The fact is, we're better off than they are. Verse 15, she, wisdom, is more precious than rubies. And all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. That sounds like happiness, doesn't it? Her ways are always pleasantness, agreeableness, delight, beauty. Sounds like happiness. And all her paths are peace. That's safety. Really, literally means happiness, prospering. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her, keeps fast hold, maintains the possession of it. Happy is a man that's wise enough to know he's not wise enough. Number three, happy is the man who's wise enough to obey the rules. Happy is a man who's wise enough to obey the rules. You know, that's one of those things that just kind of bows us up, you know. When someone comes along and says, here's what you got to do. Well, oh, I don't have to. Well, you can't make me. The fact is, most times if we just obey the rules, we'd be a whole lot happier. How many likes speeding tickets? How many really get kind of cranked when you end up with a speeding ticket? Oh, yeah, I do. You know how I got it? Speeding. I was thinking, they were thinking about coming over and getting you over there on the other side of Bible Baptist there this morning from Olivia. And the last time I remember, I was going to tell my wife, now it's only 40 miles an hour across there. In fact, some spots are only 25 miles an hour. You know how I know? I had a man in a nice uniform, real sharp car, told me. One day, Pastor Kenny Dallas and I, it wasn't unusual. We'd go out and have a little lunch or something. It's not unusual for me to eat lunch. But sometimes we go out and have lunch. And you get on the other side, you go out Canal. And I go down Canal and I hit Greenbrier and I hit down the other way there and go down and get some lunch. And it's 25 miles an hour, a good long way out here on Canal. And we were talking and chatting and having a good time and I don't know, just having a good day and wasn't even thinking about it. And I was going 42 and a 25. It wasn't anybody on the road or nothing. It just said, there I was. I did it one time with Nathan. He was going to an event over there and I couldn't believe it. And I kind of zipped down over the hill there, and it's 40, and I think I was going 52. I went down over the hill there, and we were late, you know. And there I sit on the side of the road with my Lighthouse Baptist tag on the front. Happy is a man that obeys the rules. The fact is, God's got some rules, too. Look at Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I know we use that verse a lot of times for the vision for the church and where we're headed and all that stuff, and that's true. But that word vision is balanced against the word law. In that couple, if you will, it's vision is balanced against the word law. And that word vision means ability to see, to not be blind, to have had a revelation. Basically, what we're saying is, where the people don't hear from God, don't get truth, it says the people perish. That means, that word perish is kind of funny little word. It kind of means gets loose, fades away, kind of goes to nothing. He says, when we stop hearing the things from God, we kind of, things get loose. And the goodness and the things that we value start fading away to almost nothing. But he said, he that keepeth, he that guards, protects, preserves, not allows to be altered, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Happy is the man that leaves the law alone. Well, I know that's what it says, but you know what I think? Leave it alone. Just obey it. Don't change it. Don't adjust it to suit your desires. Just obey it with all tenacity. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Everything we do, check in with headquarters. And if we check in with headquarters, then it's on his head. If I end up someplace, that means this is where he wanted me to be. And if there's problems coming up, that's okay, because he's going to see me through it. He's going to use it. Number four, happy is a man who's wise enough to allow God to make him wiser. Happy is a man that's wise enough to allow God to make him wiser. You know, we get on our kids because they don't want to learn and do their studies and all this kind of stuff, and I understand that. But the fact is, we have a problem with that too. Sometimes we don't enjoy somebody telling us, well, we've been doing it wrong. Now, wait a minute. I'm telling you from experience, I know what happens when you do wrong. You know how much that ticket was when I was going 25 and there's a school zone there? That wasn't a good one. I didn't mean anything wrong. I just didn't obey the rule. I didn't mean, but I had to be corrected. Now, the fact is, I don't like it. But there is a reason why it's there. Can you imagine what would have happened if a second grader came running out across that road and I hit it? I hit that little kid. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how it would change my life? Can you imagine how it changed their family's life? Can you imagine what it would do to this church? Well, I didn't mean anything by it. And it really wasn't that bad. I didn't see anybody coming. And that's usually where we get ourselves in trouble. Happy is the man that's wise enough to allow God to make him happy, to make him wiser. Hold your place in the Proverbs. But would you go back a little further to the left to the book of Job? Job, Psalms, Proverbs. We're getting done here. Job chapter 5. You see, this is, you're talking about being happy. Why are we having a laughing message here? Being happy is serious business. If we don't take being happy serious, we're not going to be happy. If we go light on trying to be happy, we go light on pursuing the Lord, we're going to have a mess. Job chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Behold, in other words, now look. Now y'all know what Job went through. By the way, it wasn't his fault. In fact, I think he probably died not knowing why all that happened. It really never says that God said, now, Job, I really appreciate this. I know I've been hard on you, but I want everybody in the next three, four millennium to know that I'm still with them even through the hard times and show how faithful you are. It doesn't say that. It looks like the tunnel just came to a dead end, black. And then all of a sudden he opens up the door and gives him twice as much as he had before. It's like, well, what in the world was that? What was that all about? Sometimes we don't know. Job 5:17 says, now look, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now watch me. He says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. I need to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. I know there's a lot of entertaining things on both sides, things that look nice. I need to just keep doing. Now, what happens when I get off just a couple degrees? I'm not going to end up where I'm supposed to be. God has to correct my course. Put me back on the straight and narrow, as the old saying goes, so that I'm going back. Because, you see, if I stick with Him, I'm going to save myself a lot of heartache. I'm going to save a lot of adversity, sorrow, misery, affliction. And sometimes God says, ah, Sterling, don't go over there. But it's really, it's, I know it's interesting, don't go there. Happy. He's going to be in a good case. He's going to be back in the happy path, the happy place of life, a good place, a pleasant place of life when God corrects him. Now watch me. He says, happy is the man whom God corrects his course, chastens, straightens him out. He says, if that's the case, then don't despise. And that word doesn't mean I hate. It really means to make light of, to ignore it. Don't ignore it when God's trying to warn you. Don't ignore it when God's trying to instruct you. Sometimes He's actually trying to restrain us, and we start fighting against Him. You know, I haven't done this for a while, but it's kind of like the little kid who's supposed to go across the street, and Mama says, "Now hold my hand." No, I'm going to do it myself. Now hold my hand. I don't want to do it myself. Now Mama takes his hand. Now I want to do it myself. I don't want to hold it. I want to do it myself. And that's exactly what we do when God's trying to straighten us out. You know what we think? We think He's trying to kick us while we're down. No, He's trying to correct our course. Look at the results. Verse 18. Look at this. For He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and His hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall be no evil touch thee. In the famine He shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. What's He saying? You let God correct you and keep you on the path. He says He'll spare you from all that mess. Yes, He may wound you, but He'll bind it back up. It's better to be wounded and bound back up than to be dead. Sometimes it's better to have a little chastening. Sometimes it's better for Him, listen, to warm your bottom if it's going to save your neck. Don't ignore it. God's doing something. But we want to go straight because, watch, straight is the way to progress in smooth sailing. It's happiness. So when God corrects our course so we are straight again, that should make us happy. It says, despise not the chastening if it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Let me read it. I'm not going to get to the whole thing here, but in Hebrews 12, verse 10, it says, for they verily for a few days, our parents, chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up to trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator, profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Watch. For he found no place of repentance. though he sought it carefully with tears. I'm going to get into all the story about Esau, but some of you know the story. Gave everything away to be happy. Ended up losing it all. Are you wise enough to change what you're doing and live righteously and seek the Lord with all your heart and be happy? One last thing I'm going to say before we're done here. I think many people, now hang on, I think many people expect too much out of God. Now watch me. You say, well, how in the world can you expect too much out of God? We expect God to be holy and righteous and fair and just and still look the other way when we sin. Well, he's holy and righteous and just, and we still expect him to look away when we sin. Some people say, well, I'd be happy to fear God if he would start making my life better. And my response is, well, why should God make your life better? So what you're saying is that God should stop everyone, including every time you're going to do something that God doesn't approve of. You know, we think, well, you know, God should have stopped that tragedy. God shouldn't have done this, and God shouldn't have done that. He should have stepped in. Sometimes he's doing his work in those lives and our lives and warning us. Happy is the man that feareth alway. But he that hardened his heart shall fall into mischief. All done. Are you wise enough to be happy? Are you wise enough to wise up? Are you wise enough to fear God always? Are you wise enough to put your hope in the Lord alone? Are you wise enough to know you're not wise enough? Are you wise enough to obey the rules? Are you wise enough to allow God to correct you and make you wiser? Are you wise enough to be happy? If you're willing to allow God to wise you up, you really will live a happier life. You really will. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in our lives. There's folks all over this room, me included. There's been times when we haven't done what we were supposed to do, and we know it, and we weren't very wise. It turned around, we fell into mischief, stress, adversity, affliction, problems, issues, many of which could have been avoided if we had just feared you and done what you've asked us to do. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll work in the hearts. Father, you said you wound, but then you bind up. You're not here to hurt for the sake of hurting, not retaliation, but for restoration. Let's speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.